Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome back, guys. Our guest today again is Dave Pallas, and we've got Dawn back. Woohoo!
Good to be here.
We've been talking video games and computers, and we're going to keep talking about that kind of stuff in minute 17. Minute 17 starts with Jack getting ready and ends with Gallitzin at the Nautilus computer.
It's got this great, it's continuing that great shot that just, you know, goes up with the elevator and continues up to the first floor.
Yeah, we can see Jack sitting on top of the elevator. So, this set probably was on a soundstage in London because they shot in, mostly in London and Prague for this. So building the set was probably like a two, three-week shoot, but they had every angle they needed. They could do it really quickly.
They could pre-light it and have it ready to go, basically.
Yeah, it looks really nice. Does.
There's a really funny moment very early on in this where Sarah says, "I'm cold," and reaches for a jacket, which we haven't seen. It definitely wasn't in the last minute at all. I don't know if that showed up somewhere further behind that, but we had not seen her in any kind of jacket, and suddenly this jacket materializes out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's not Ethan's jacket?
That's not Ethan's jacket. Or if it's Ethan's jacket, it's a jacket that he, I don't know where he's been stashing this whole time. Because she's playing it as though she wants the jacket just because she's cold. He walks out wearing it later.
No, you're right. But there are three jackets on the old computers behind her. I'm not saying any of them match, because I think they're like gray mostly.
Wait, she actually stole a jacket?
She might have stolen a jacket.
Hypothetically. I mean, you're leaving glasses. Just take the jacket. Like, let's just...
She's killing me.
Let's just really fly by night on this mission.
I went to work, and then I went home, and then when I got back, there was a pair of glasses, and my coat was gone.
It's such a random moment, and it happens very, very quickly.
I mean, I get it. She's in a basement of a probably, like, I'm guessing not well-insulated room, or maybe it's, like, getting hit with, like, a lot of AC to, like, keep the computers cool.
I mean, you don't even need that. You have the fact that she's in a formal dress, and formal gowns for women, they're just not any use in terms of actual protection against anything. But it is surprising that in the middle of the mission, she decides she's cold, and somehow this jacket materializes out of nowhere.
So, basically, Gallitzin gets in the elevator, he presses the button before the team is ready. And he goes down in the elevator. This is when Ethan starts to panic, and so does Sarah, and so does Jack. Gallitzin is going to find them in the elevator, so Ethan asks if they can take the Gallitzin exit. That's a weird thing to call it. The Gallitzin exit is when they open the doors while the elevator is not there. That way they can go through, underneath the elevator, through a hatch in the back. Which I assume they researched.
Okay, that's probably the hatch that Jack came in on. That's what I'm assuming.
Yes.
Now, why would Gallitzin go out this way? It's like, okay, if he can walk in, has the credentials to get past the guards, and I assume they still look at him. Like, just because he don't leave the office, there's still a camera there. So they see a guy, and he goes into the elevator, and he goes downstairs, and then a minute later, you would expect him to come back up and leave. Now, the senator people, you know, they see the senator go down and never come up. Now, this guy's apparently going to grab the Nautilus and he's going to bug out the back.
I mean, it's a party in the basement.
Yeah, I was going to
say. What happens.
I was going to say, those guys are probably wondering, wait, there was a guy and a girl, the senator and this lady go down there, and then Gallitzin went down there, and they haven't been up in a while. So I wonder what's going
Nobody
on there.
Nobody comes back upstairs.
No. Oh, jeez, I just thought of this. Oh, my God. You know what? All right, so rather than panic, That Ethan and Sarah should not panic. What they should do is the classic maneuver when, like, you get spotted and you don't want to be spotted. What do?
You make out.
They pretend to do that later anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So why not pretend? So just make it, like, have Gallitzin come in and they're, like, making out on, like, the desk. And they go, oh, geez. And they make an excuse for themselves to leave. And Gallitzin's
It's actually really ridiculous that they didn't think of that in that moment.
Or hide behind all those computers.
Yeah. They could just be like, oh, sorry, sir. And they leave. Boom.
There's literally 8 feet tall computers in the back behind them. Or, well, actually, they're more like 5 feet tall computers. But there's got to be space in between. They could just hide.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's...
Hiding in plain sight is always better than hiding. It would have been really easy for them to hide in plain sight on this one. It's a spy fail.
They could have gotten under that desk.
They could have been on top of the desk and been on top of each other.
So that was their plan, though, was that they were going to take the elevator back up and then go into the party again and then leave naturally.
But I think they mean the Gallitzin exit. I think they were going to make the elevator mess up. Later on, we're spoiling another minute, but that's okay. The next minute, Gallitzin, when the door opens and there's no elevator, he has no problem walking straight through that hatch.
Yeah, that was where he was going.
Was that how where he was going from the beginning? How
yeah,
was,
that's how he was getting
how
out.
Was he going to facilitate that?
I'm sure he had a way to open those doors.
Okay, now that we're talking about the elevator, I really want to talk about this elevator UI, which makes me really happy and not happy. It's amazing. You have a little screenshot here at about...
Oh, you mean on Jack and Jim's computer?
Right. 29 seconds in, you've got the U.S. Embassy Automated Systems. Okay. And you see this nice little panel on the side. I think it's hilarious that they built out this UI and decided to help with something that goes in the middle.
It also has buttons for... It has buttons for open and close. Well, that's not really hacking it if you can just push those buttons.
Right. And I think it's, I mean, just as a UI sort of thing, like.
Okay. Now, we don't actually get to see what Jack is looking at, but this is, you could say at a minute 20 or a second 29, you see the pen cup. So, you know, we're looking at the desk. So we're looking at it from Jim's perspective. So then right. When Jim says he's controlling the elevator, it's almost like I wish Jack would have had a thought like, wait, you could do all this?
Without having to sit up here?
Yeah. Like, if you can.
Well,
just-
I think he can only control it because Jack, last week put a, he put a governor on the elevator and also a thingamahooz it attached to the metal box up at the top of the elevator shaft.
Like a mini router.
So he did create the connection. What do you think the edit button is for in the UI? It's a closed system, so they must have had to get inside and, you know, do it. So it does have a network of something because it also is attached to the thumbprint reader and the computer upstairs. So we do know there is some sort of system because it won't turn on unless you're okayed by the thumbprint verification.
And then there's a whole bunch of like just lines of numbers underneath the button that says map. It's just strings that's, and strings yeah. of gobbledygook
that's
just, numbers to
that's
look cool.
Matrix. That's matrix.
Exactly.
Stuff.
So second 23 here, we have Jack looking down into the elevator, and Hannah's just she's just looking at the staircase still upstairs. So she's not really yep. doing anything.
No, she's not. She's just sitting there.
Oh, Jack. Jack actually has a great position. He could have been the lookout. He's just as helpful as Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he could just
yeah,
be
all
like,
Hannah needed
yeah,
to do was put her glasses.
Again, all Hannah needed to do was actually prevent the guy from going down there in the first place. But hey, yeah.
Hannah could have taken her glasses and laid them on the railing and walked away.
On the terminal, you can actually see on the monitor, it says, enter password to access terminal. Which I think is really funny.
Oh, when Gallitzin actually opens up the computer?
When he opens up the computer.
It's got an enter name and then enter password.
It's not even just enter password. It literally says enter password to access terminal, which is incredibly wordy. That's a little bit of a like, you know, just in case you weren't sure what was going on with this computer screen, we're just going to bash you over the head with it a few times.
I'm surprised it doesn't say just knock list at the top.
Right? Plot point computer.
It's obvious for the audience, not for anybody else.
You got Gallitzin. He sits down at the computer. He starts putting on latex gloves. And I don't get that. It's like he clearly put his thumb to the thing. He got read that he's Gallitzin. The security guards know what he looks like. So what gloves is he putting on to access a computer?
He's people? Putting on those gloves so that when they try and figure out who stole it, they'll know Sarah Davies did it because she stuck her fingers all over the computer.
Or Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt also touched the computer.
Does Gallitzin have access to the knock list? Like, naturally, right?
Yeah, he...
I mean, he certainly knows the password.
One darn keylogger would be like, Alexander Gallitzin logged in, access knock list, and he copy-pasted, guys. It's that easy.
Yeah, this may come up again later in the movie.
But in 1997, you know, 1996, 1997 terminology, nobody would have thought about that sort of stuff.
I'm not sure that's true.
Well, the audience wouldn't have. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
I'm
I'll
sure there
that.
Were some nerds somewhere yelling at the screen. Yeah. How dare you? All you needed was a code logger.
I mean, you even probably just had access logs on the computer. You don't even need a key logger. You just need to, like, check whatever your... I'm sure there's something in the background running for seeing who's accessing the database or accessing files at any particular time.
No, there's none of that oversight because otherwise the CIA would just be able to do something about the knock list.
That's what's so weird about this, is that the reason is because Golitsyn is going to sell the knock list. I'm like, all right, we got to arrest him and the buyer. Like, who cares about arresting, like, a buyer? It's like, always, there's always going to be some country or some smuggler that wants the information. The point is that just get rid of Golitsyn. And I don't know why you want to, I don't get the whole formal arresting. It's like, you're the CIA. Like, you don't want to have any information on public record that this is what he did, you know?
Yeah, we talked about a couple weeks ago. We said you could easily have put a fake knock list into this computer, and then you could even have get Golitsyn and then sell the fake knock list to 15 different people and then get those people.
I think that the issue that we're not dealing with yet is that all of this is the MacGuffin, and the real point of everything is to find, as we find out later in the film, the mole hunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you had brought this up, Dave, off mic, but this computer has two hard drives. It has a tower, and it has a, what would be a, what was it called when it was underneath the computer?
Oh, shoot. That's a good question.
I forget what that's called. Well, we'll have to do some research.
Like the zip drive?
No, like the actual, there's a hard drive underneath the monitor, but there's also a hard drive to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, like some kind of encrypted, like, hard drive on it. I mean, this could be one of those old computers. Like, there's a bunch of, like, circles and dots at the bottom of that tower or and even under the monitor. I know there was that, there's, like, old 80s IBM computers they made where it was, like, you actually needed, like, a vending machine key to access certain hard drives. You could, like, lock a hard drive with this key.
And that could also be the modem.
Yeah.
It could.
A giant, what, 1 foot by 3 foot box?
That, I mean, yeah, that could hold the monitor on it.
Yeah, that's a little big even for a modem then, though. They were big,
it's
but big.
It's got to be
big.
Something to connect to the CIA, just servers very quickly. But I guess, yeah, the Prague embassy is probably like a very low security checkpoint.
Clearly
you wanted to get
low
to the
security.
CIA.
Yeah.
Clearly low security.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, there's so much great tech in the app in this one. We'll start this time with Dawn. Do you have any tech of the app that tickles your fancy this time?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that UI for hacking into the elevator because I think Dawn it's wins. Amazing that there's a speed fast and a speed slow and one that says literally stop, run.
I think that's the best.
Yeah, I do too. I agree.
I agree. I think we all agree that the UI for the elevator that has 8 buttons for something that goes up and down.
I want to know what happens when you press stop, run.
I want to know. Oh. Well, we may find out.
I don't know. I'm trying not to talk about it.
What? Nothing's going to happen. Emilio Estevez, star of the movie, is going to get off the elevator and join the rest of the gang, and they're all going to go.
The Adventures of Tony Beretta.
With that, we can end minute 17. Dave, I assume you will be able to come back tomorrow and for minute 18.
Yeah, I call that at work. I'm good.
Oh, fantastic. If you would like to contact us on Twitter, you can always send us a message at MinImpossible, M-I-N, Impossible. And we're on Facebook, goofing around at the Impossible Minute Force. We'll see you next time for minute 18. I've been Jonathan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And this minute will self-destruct.
You can make the noise too if you want to, Dave.
I was gonna go down up, but I was like, no way, that's James Bond. So I was gonna go down up, down up. Like,
no, this was just da da.